Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. And I have a return guest today. I'm so excited to see her back. I have Leah Coman with me. How you doing, Leah?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on again. It's so great to be back.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that you have another book out. And this one's just as, I mean, they're getting better. I mean, they're all great. They seem to be getting better each time. So that's a really cool thing. So I'll just give you another introduction again. Leah is the author of The Last Time We Were Us, Love and Other Trainwrecks, and The Romantics. We were here, we talked about You Should Have Told Me, right? That was the one we talked about that last year. She grew up in a two stoplight farming town in Washington State before moving to suburban North Carolina, where there were many more stoplights and lots of sweet tea. After studying journalism at the University of North Carolina, she headed to New York City to pursue her dream of becoming a writer. I did that too. We talked about it before. When she's not working on novels and articles or writing for fashion brands, she enjoys devouring new books, spoiling her dog, biking around Brooklyn, checking out live music, and binge watching TV. Well, how do you have time for any of that? Writing all these books and
Well, I think that's a bio from a few years ago before I had children, and I apparently was doing a lot of biking and doing lots of fun things. Now it's a little bit different, but still have the dog, so two kids and the dog now, and barely time for any of it, but the writing is what I love to do, so we keep at it, right?
yeah, absolutely. And you're in the cool spot of the world to be doing that. It's a very exciting place to live if you're a writer. I think it's a lot of energy. We are here to talk about your new book today. What's the new book?
So Keep Your Friends Close is super fun. It is, I got really inspired by Strangers on a Train, the Patricia Highsmith novel, and particularly also the Hitchcock adaptation. And so I thought, what if I kind of tried my hand at this, but instead of two guys, trying to get out of different problems on some train, what if it is two moms in Park Slope, Brooklyn, who meet at a playground? Because I think there's something so, whether you have kids or not, I think there's something so interesting about when you meet as an adult, when you meet another woman for the first time and you think, like, hey, this could be my friend. And we love that moment and the excitement of it. And then I think when you add the mothering element, that's also another angle. And so, what if you did meet someone like that in just like a very casual situation? You thought everything was normal, and then she turned out to be not who she said she was at all. So things kind of really unfold from there. And I think Mary and Willa, who are these two moms who meet, are they both have their own secrets and they both have their own stories. One of them is definitely lying a lot more than the other, but they both have kind of some things in their past, and I just love to kind of just let these women collide and kind of see what happens. But basically, shortly after they meet, Mary Willa actually ghosts Mary and stops talking to her, and then Mary sees her in another town, but she's using a completely different name. So that's kind of what kicks off the whole story.
That's a very cool premise, and I love that. It's just really because it's hard to meet like friends when you're an adult. It's just weird. It's different. It's different than when you're a
It's
kid. It's weird, right? Like it's odd.
it really is, and I think it sends us all back to this moment of being a kid, of being like 5 years old or 13 years old, or the first day of college, like where you, no matter how many times you've done it, you always have this nervousness. And I think whether or not you put on the bravado of it or not, or whether you're good at it, there still is that kind of earnest, nervous, oh, okay, should we change numbers? Like, should we t text each other? Maybe we'll get a coffee. And so I think there's so much fun stuff to play in that. And I've had a lot, I've made a lot of good friends in the community, in Brooklyn, where I have my kids just through the playground and through school and whatever. And I'm joking to them, like, the premise of this book. And I'm like, yeah, but one of them's a con artist. And I think it was a lot of fun to play with because you never really know, right? Like you really never know what could be happening behind closed doors. I don't believe any of my mom friends are con artists, but it's fun to kind of imagine if someone you thought was completely innocuous had a whole different story.
Yeah, and like you said, you don't know. So it could be something. That's the art of the con. Like we don't know until it's in the newspaper, and you're like, oh, great. She was always so nice and quiet. Or not, she was, filtering money through the whole neighborhood. I've had a couple. I have like baseball mom friends that my son plays baseball, and then and it's always like that awkward like, let's exchange numbers, but it's like dating. Like I don't want to come on too strong and be like, hey, you guys want to hang out? Basically, it goes takes you all the way back to like, it's just hard to be a human being and be you don't want to be accepted but not be the weird
It
one.
is. It is like dating.
Weird
It's you
dance.
got to, to make connections with people, you have to put yourself out there. And I think it's something that we get used to, but it never, the fear of it never totally goes away.
Yeah. And I have one recent interaction with an adult friend that I made that just went really off the rails and bizarre, and like it said a different name and all these, and then she just completely disappeared from social media. So I was like, I hung out with this person a lot, and I'm like, oh my God, she just, maybe she was, an escaped convict or something. I'm not sure. So it, weird things happen. Just have to be
Well,
cautious,
was her name Willa? Because, I don't know.
Quite possibly, because I don't think I got the real name.
She
So
could be using a different name.
exactly. People are crazy. Well, that's really cool. And the premise is just as exciting and fun and fresh. So actually, you kind of touched on my first question. The tagline of the novel, as you mentioned, is "Strangers on a Train Meets the Family Next Door." And you mentioned that you were inspired by Highsmith and Hitchcock. But I wanted to see, is that a new inspiration? Is Hitchcock always been an influence for you? Is this something that you just came upon, like during the pandemic? I'm interviewing a lot of people, like, oh, during the pandemic, I binged, all of Hitchcock's movies or whatever. So is there an origin story for that inspiration?
So yeah, the origin story is that my mother was a huge fan, and we watched Suspense together from when I was quite young, actually. I think I watched like Psycho in like fourth grade or something. And I'm well, and then here I am. Here's what I turned into, and I'm a huge horror fan and everything. So I think we watched a lot of that because she was so into suspense, and I think the older movies she felt more comfortable sharing with a child because. Yes, there is definitely stuff in there, but it's a lot more restrained than anything you would see now. And so I just was always, I don't know, just this idea that the excitement of the tension of seeing these scenes unfold kind of has never left me. And I feel like I'm always chasing that in my books. And then I actually wrote an article about this a few years ago. But I think there's something really interesting about as an adult discovering that a lot of Hitchcock's most popular movies were actually based on books by women. So you have Strangers on a Train, but you also have Rebecca, of course, Daphne du Maurier. And so I love this idea that, like, he's like the king of suspense, and we put this all around this man who kind of brought this to mass audiences, but he would have been nothing without these women who are writing the stories behind it, and these women who, the actresses who kind of embody these movies and made them what they are. So, yeah, I think Hitchcock is fascinating, and I will probably spend the rest of my life continuing to go through the catalog and find new gems and rewatch the ones that I love so much.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the same mom because my mom did the same thing. She took us to see all, like whenever they were like doing a revival of the theater, we would go and see, I remember seeing a Rear Window for the first time and just being completely blown away. I was like, okay, this is the movie that every other movie has to live up to. This is so good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that influence. It's, and of course, yeah, you're turning your kid into a little weirdo, but hey, that's fun too. There's no problem there. You are very good, and you have to be very careful. You can't spoil anything. The art of the twist. You are great at coming up with fresh plots and twisty narratives, and they're not, there's not, we're all used to these sort of novels, and sometimes you can see the patterns and they're predictable, but I can't really do that with you. So I think that's a skill level that you have. Do you plan everything out ahead, or do you sort of let things come to you as you're writing? Because it seems, I don't know how you do this. That's just great. How do you do it?
Thank you. Thank you. So I do plot the books. I'm very inspired by screenwriting as a format. I don't write screenplays myself, but I think kind of the rules of the tricks behind and the formulas behind screenwriting are fascinating. And I think they actually kind of can give you a little bit more creativity because you kind of have this like the house basically that you're building, and you have, like the boards of it or the foundation and all that. And then I think having that solid structure actually gives me more creativity to play around. So I'm a big fan of kind of structure and kind of looking at stories throughout history and realizing that like they do hit certain beats. And so I've done a lot of like studying of that. So I do plot out and I plan out my scenes and I plan out the big beats. I will say that I often find that I think I'm writing, especially with a twist, I think I'm writing in one direction and then I change course maybe 80, 90% through the drafting process. And a lot of times what I think is this like very special moment as a writer is that I'll be like, okay, what if I did it this way instead? And then I'll look back and I'll realize that I was actually building to it. Like I was actually accidentally leaving these clues that like in some sense I almost knew that that was going to happen. It's very strange, but it's happened to me a few times now. So it's almost like I think what I do is I write in a certain way, and then it's kind of, am I writing as a writer or am I writing as a reader? And as they're kind of different roles, because as a reader, I have to be thinking, like, what is the reader anticipating? And if the reader is anticipating this, then I really can't do it because it's going to be such a letdown. Because those, readers don't want to read books where they guess everything. So I think when I put on my reader hat, I realized that like I can actually dig deeper and there are more like secrets to uncover in these plots. Rather than a lot of times the first idea that comes to me is the first thing that might come to a reader as well, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does, because like you don't want it to be predictable, and that's like you said,
Yeah.
you're constantly, your job is to lead us to where we think we're going and then surprise us in a fair way where it's not like, oh, whatever happened, we have
Right.
to.
You don't want it to be predictable, but you also don't want it to feel like it's completely out of left field because then you feel cheated, you know? It's like you want it to be like, I feel like you want it to be that like, oh, how did I not see this? Rather than like, oh, who's that? What? You know? So
Exactly.
it's a balance, and I think it's a delicate line. And every book, there's definitely readers who still guess it. And, so it's and good for them. Like I think that's fun too.
Yeah, and you have to have the what's that saying? Like the thing that makes the rule a rule. You have to have you have it has to be
Exactly.
it has to be
The
obvious for
exception that
some.
proves the rule. Yeah.
Yes, thank you for filling in my brain holes that don't have words. But I love that how you talked about you already know the story. It's almost like your brain already knows the story, and you're just like it's a being revealed to you too during the writing process. Awesome. Because have you ever written something and then put it away for a long time and then brought it back, and as you're revising, you write a sentence and then you find the sentence later on in the book. You're like, oh, I've
Oh.
already thought of this. Like, my brain already knows this, and it's just
Yes,
uncovering it for you.
absolutely.
Isn't that weird? It's just
Absolutely.
weird.
It happens all the time. Yeah.
That's how. That's just interesting. So our brains are a confusing place. I don't understand most of it. So, you kind of this is a similar question, but I just really am impressed with your pacing, because you write fast-paced novel. I mean, they're you have to flip through them, and you can read them in a day if you have nothing else to do, like take care of children. But you're very good, I feel, at the fast-paced novel without it feeling rushed, if that makes sense. And maybe it's something to do with the screenplay study that you've been doing, but how do you keep that going? How do you keep the pace? It's so consistent too. There's not a lagging moment. Do you work on this? Is it something you work on with your editor? Do you read aloud? Like, how do you make it seem?
So I mean, definitely editors will go in and say like, I'm not sure if this is adding anything or this is dragging, like let's cut this back. But I think part of the reason why I have that is that I personally love to read books where I feel like every chapter ends with like a question and something I want to figure out next. And so I feel like I try to do that almost with every scene because it is, it is suspense. And I think that, again, not to like rely too heavily on this, but to go back to Hitchcock, like you, because I've watched some of these movies. I was watching Psycho recently, and I was actually kind of studying it and going scene by scene and like looking how it's done. And you really do see that it's not just like the big moments that's like ta-da, like every kind of thing is so thought out and chosen to like keep you, to give like this punch to you to be like, oh, you know. So I think I try to put that in, and I try to really challenge myself to have a strong out, I would call it an out, like a chapter ending for every single chapter. And if I feel like what I'm reading through, if it doesn't give me that feeling, then I try to fix it. Obviously you have to like get, you do have to give people a moment to breathe, because otherwise it's almost like anxiety inducing if you never, you have to have like a moment to process what you just learned. But usually that's what I would do for like the start of the next chapter, just give like a little breathing space, a recap, and then build to another kind of pop of a moment, even if it's not a huge reveal or anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't want to stress people out. Stress people out. That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. It's
We're
really
stressed
good.
enough. We're stressed enough as it is.
Seriously, all the time. Well, that's great. Well, that's I think that is going to be some. That's a good tip for those who are listening that are thinking about maybe diving into this genre or strengthening some of their own work. So tell us about these characters. How did you conceive of these interesting women? Are they based on the people that you know? Do you have a favorite character in the book or?
I mean, I think Willa is my favorite character because she is completely shameless and she doesn't follow any of the rules and she's like a horrible liar and is conning people. And I think there's something so fun about writing that. And I think it can be really fun about reading it too. And I think what's great about Willa is that she is breaking every law and rule and everything, but her underlying motivations, not always, but at times, are good and have a little bit of morality to them. Maybe not a lot, but a little bit. Because Willa, I think Willa's character really highlights the, without giving too much away, she is someone who gets in relationships with men who kind of are either recently divorced or widowed and need someone, a woman, to kind of come in and clean up the mess of their lives, because and she's doing this in a very wealthy area in Brooklyn where you have a lot of money, but even in a relationship with a lot of wealth and a lot of privilege, the mental load still usually falls to the woman in a heteronormative relationship. So Willa is exploiting that, and I think there's something so interesting about that. And like she has a line that says, she says the mental load is the one thing you can't hire out, and that's why she believes that men are drawn to her, because you know it's they could be hiring someone to clean their fabulous home, they could be hire someone to take care of their kids, but they still need someone to like manage that. And I think that's, she's a more extreme example of what I think a lot of women are feeling. They don't have the privilege that she has, or the access to money that she has, or that these men have. But even in a more normal circumstance, it's like women are just carrying more of, especially these mental tasks. And so I just love her character because I think it's just something that, as a mother, I've been having these conversations with the women in my life for years, and so it was just so fun to just like really play that up as like a theme, instead of you know, instead of having her be a con artist based on other reasons, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do, but and I think it's because we're wired differently too. Because we tend to take on. I've been thinking of 10 things. I mean, it's
Yeah.
stressful, and it's. I doesn't. I don't think that's
Well,
happening. Yeah, to
you know,
other
and
people that don't live in my house.
I was talking to another mom this morning actually about summer camp sign up, and because you know for young kids you got to sign up for the camps in January for the summer. It's ridiculous. And we were talking about how it's so self-fulfilling because the women are the ones who do it, but then the women are the ones who are on group chats talking about it with other people in the community. So it's not a simple thing where you could just be like, hey, I want you to take on summer camps this year, because you're already so connected into like the resources and whatever. So there's just so many little ways that even if you have a great supportive partner, even if you are with someone who's, very feminist and you're trying to even out the load, it's just so much of it is built upon relying on women. The school is going to call the mother first, usually, like even if you put both names on the form, all of that. So it was just something I really wanted to play with.
Really glad you did. And I think those, these kinds of things need to be forth and in entertaining ways. That's always good. So we're at the fifth question already, which is sad. It's been fun talking to you, but we have a little quiz at the end. I brought back the quiz. It's coming back. So
Okay.
it's a season three.
I'll
So you're
sharpen my pencil.
So how long does it take you to construct? This is a two-part question. How long does it take you to write a book generally? And are you working on the next one? Are you already working? What are you doing?
So yeah, it takes me about a year, like kind of soup to nuts, I think. From like coming up with the idea to like drafting it to and then getting it into my editor, and then of course there's stuff that happens on the publishing side. And yes, I actually just turned in the draft for my next book, that is coming out. It'll be either January or February of 2025, so about a year from now. And it's super fun. It's called The Last Room on the Left, and it is it's kind of in the way that this was a little bit inspired by Strangers on the Train. This one's a little inspired by The Shining, but if it was all women, and so there's kind of a revitalized motel, and there's a woman who goes up there. She really wants to finish a novel, and then of course things don't go as planned. So yeah, I have been working hard at that. It's a first draft. Lots will still change, I'm sure, but it's really fun, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, I'm proud of you that to be able to get a draft done. You have a new baby. I mean, you're working, promoting a book, running summer camp stuff. I
Yeah,
mean, you know.
it's a lot. It was a lot of writing in between. Honestly, writing with the newborn was easier than writing pregnant. When I was pregnant, I was so tired this time. I like could barely get out of bed. So yeah, it was a lot of stolen moments over the course of a year to get this book, but I'm really excited about it.
Me too. I'm always excited about what you're up to. So that's very cool. We'll have that to look forward to. But first, everyone needs to get this because it's not even out yet. It's coming out February 20th, right? Is it coming out
Yes,
20th?
February 20th.
Awesome. Yeah, that's right after my birthday. So I will remember.
Ah, happy early birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks. I'm still here. So I have to be thankful for. I'll take it. Final rapid quiz. Here we go. Number one, do you prefer reading standalone novels or series?
Standalone for regular reading. I love series on audiobooks.
Okay, that's cool. So you listen
Yeah.
to series. That's interesting. That's a unique answer. I like. Do you prefer reading books set in contemporary times or historical?
Contemporary.
Me too. I like current. Do you prefer to write in the mornings or evenings?
Mornings, by far. I have no brain left by the evening at all, like zero.
Oh, we're the same. Number four, would you rather watch a movie or a TV show?
Oh, that is so hard. I would say movie, but I feel like in the last like decade, TV has like become like movies. So I'm torn both. I'm gonna say both.
Yes, I'm doing a very unscientific poll, and that seems to be the trending answer because TV is good now. TV used to
It's
it used to be
so
different, but
good. It's so good.
and then you're home and you can have your wine and your popcorn. If you could have dinner with any author, living or dead, who would it be?
I'm gonna go. Usually, I would say Jane Austen because, hello, she's Jane Austen. But I'm gonna go with Patricia Highsmith this time. I'm gonna switch it up because I want to desperately get inside her head. Jane Austen, I just want to say like, hi, I love you. You're amazing. Like, let's have tea and talk about Mr. Darcy. But Highsmith, I want to be like, really though, how did you do it? And how did you do it with so many different books that inspire me? So that's my answer.
Very good. I love that answer. That would be a great dinner. I'd have to maybe I would cater it, and then I get to eavesdrop.
It would.
Right, so are you going on tour? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so I have a couple of events. I am, let me make sure I'm telling you the right dates. Yes, I am having a Brooklyn launch party on the 26th of February at Greenlight Books in Brooklyn. And then I'm also doing an event a couple days before on the 24th in Woodstock, New York. So yeah, if you're in the New York area, I would love to see you. And I'm gonna have lots of updates on through my newsletter, my website, it's leahconan.com, and obviously on social media and all that. I'll have the whole schedule.
Yeah, everyone, it's always helpful to sign up for author newsletters because that's where all the good information is, and you don't miss it
Yes.
because if you happen to not go on Facebook one day or whatever, so that's
And there's
great.
sometimes pictures of my dog, which is like, hello, the best. So,
It's a special treat. Special treat. Well, it is always a joy to see you. It's so great to see you doing so well. I'm excited about all the stuff you have going on, and I'll be looking for your new book and. I mean, I already have it. Everyone should go out and get the new book. Keep your friends close. I love that line too. It's always,
Thank you.
you hear that growing up and you're like, oh, that's very profound. So take care, have fun, take care of those kids, and don't worry about summer camp. It'll all come together.
Thank you so much. And watch out for con artists at the playgrounds and at school pickups and on the baseball teams, so just
Everywhere. Everywhere. Just
you,
gotta be careful.
yeah, exactly. All right.
All right, my dear. Have a good day.
Thank you so much.